Well, the kids are having fun, aren't they? Amen. We should all go back there, right? All righty. Good to see you this morning, church family. Thank you, Denise. I appreciate that. I didn't think there was water up here. I only saw one glass, and I thought that was the one that was contaminated by Brother Cole. And I wasn't wanting to go near that one, so it was under the pulpit, and there's one over there, so I guess there was water, but I better safe than sorry. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Luke chapter 11. I trust each and every one of you had a wonderful Christmas. And we had a great Christmas. Apart from one thing, of course, all of us were here on Sunday night candlelight service. But when my wife woke up Monday morning, she was running up the nose and the eyes, and then Christmas Day, it was much worse. Tissues weren't doing the job. She actually had a hand towel, just held it to her face all day. And so it really knocked her for a loop. She's still sick today. But Miss Joyce said she had it for a whole week. So I guess that's the course. It's a week-long virus or whatever. So do pray for my wife. I'd appreciate that. So guess who did the cooking on Christmas Day? Boy, those hot dogs were good. No, I'm just kidding. We traditionally do leg of lamb on Christmas, and so such was the case this year. We had it again. It was great. But it was good just to have a nice, quiet Christmas at home, and I trust you had a great Christmas as well. It's hard to believe that we're standing here, we're sitting here on the final Sunday of 2018. In some ways, we might think back and rejoice. In some ways, we might hate to see it go. And some folks might be saying, good riddance, let's get on to a new year. Whatever the case may be, I find myself at this time of year beginning, I get very reflective. I look over the past months at my own personal life, and I begin to look forward into the new year and what God would have in store for me and for my family, but just speaking for myself now, just on a personal level, my own walk with God. I never want to be satisfied. Do you find yourself feeling that way? Don't ever think you've arrived in the Christian life. Look, I'm always pressing toward the mark. I'm always reaching for that higher ground. There's always more ground to be conquered in the Christian life. We never arrive. We never get to know it all. And those of us that have been saved for 20, 30, and 40 years, or even more, some sitting here have been saved more than that. We never get to the place where we've learned it all, we know it all, we've got this down, and we must always be striving to be better, to be more like Christ, to just reach a little further, to get a little more ground under our belt, and always seek to be growing. Peter admonished us by telling us to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should be always striving to grow. As I look into the new year, when I preach, I often say this message is a result of something that the Lord showed me in devotion. And I guess it's similar again today. This isn't necessarily from a devotion in my personal devotions, but it's something that God is challenging me about. And so I thought, well, if He's challenging me, perhaps He could challenge the other church folk in the same way. And so today's lesson I want to talk to you, or the sermon this morning, I want to talk to you on the topic of prayer. Prayer. I was thinking, what if we were to go into the year 2019 and we just adopted the theme, the year of prayer? What if Grace Baptist Church became known as a people of prayer? And I don't mean when we gather at the church house and have a time of prayer, but that the individual members that make up the body of Christ here in this local assembly were people of prayer in their own home and in their own closet, in their own quiet time. That's what we should be striving for. Oftentimes, as preachers, we tend to shy away from what we call the basics. Some of the things that we think, well, this, you know, prayer, we should have learned that, you know, right after we got saved. And so now that we're a little bit older in the Lord, the temptation is to find some new truth, although there are new truths, to preach about. But you know what? Sometimes it's good to go back to the basics. And so as we look at this topic of prayer today, the title of the sermon is, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Lord, Teach Us to Pray. It's a familiar passage here in Luke chapter 11, and we'll read verses 1 and 4. So if you don't mind, we'll stand together as we read God's holy word. It's only four verses, so rather than read responsively, let's read in unison, shall we? We'll read it all four verses, all together. I think that'll sound great. So Luke chapter 11, let's begin in verse 1. Ready? And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, I pray that you'll bless the time we spend here in your word this morning. I pray that you'll bless this message. May it speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray earnestly that you would indeed make us people of prayer. Well, thank you for all that's accomplished. May you get the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there's no doubt in my mind that as Jesus' disciples came to him and they used the exact phrase, which is the title of the message this morning, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. No doubt that they saw by example the Lord Jesus Christ in a time of prayer. The Bible says he went to a certain place. He there in verse 1 obviously is the Lord Jesus. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. When he got finished, the disciples perhaps were standing there awestruck with mouths gaped open like, and they heard things they had never heard before. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his heavenly Father. They saw him, they saw the passion in his prayer. They saw the conviction in his prayer. They saw the connective. He was connected to his Father in prayer. He wasn't distracted. They saw something they never had seen before and heard things uttered that they had never heard before. And when the Lord Jesus Christ got up off of his knees, they said, Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray like that. Oh, we want to pray like you pray. Now, there's no doubt in my mind, according to the passage here, and it's obvious because the Lord went on to say, well, when you pray, say, and he gave them an outline of a prayer there. No doubt that he was teaching them how to pray, right? But I like to take that phrase sometimes without doing any harm to the Scripture. Lord, teach us to pray. Put the emphasis on the word to. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us just to pray. Not necessarily how to pray, but to pray. You see, I feel in our modern day Christianity, the great demarcation of our waywardness from our Heavenly Father, our separatedness from our Heavenly Father, our disconnection from our Heavenly Father is indeed our lack of prayer. We simply don't pray. We're good at saying, God is great, God is good, let him bless the food. We're good at saying, what is it, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, our little ditty prayers like that. But I'm talking about something way different today. I'm talking about the kind of prayer where the disciples of Jesus Christ said, Lord, teach us to pray like you pray. Not only teach us how to pray, but teach us to pray. To take the time to actually pray and spend time with our Heavenly Father. Yes, I pray that we could go into 2019 and be known as a people of prayer. Jesus prayed. Obviously, we see it here. one of the parts of the formula in 2 Chronicles 7:14, very familiar passage. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, what's the next two words? And pray. God expects us to pray. Paul told us in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. Of course, Jesus invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive help in the time of need. 1 Timothy 2 says, Paul again says to young Timothy, I will therefore that men everywhere ought to pray, lifting up holy hands. Men everywhere ought to pray. Amen. Well, as we get into the message here, I'm going to mess with you a little bit because our church is a three-point message. Now, Cole messed us up in Sunday school. He had 4 points. I've got 5. Yeah, I had to up one up you. Amen. A few weeks ago, a preacher said, I got 2 points. I was like, no, we got to have 3. Just kidding. I often do 3. Amen. But let's get into this. I want to give you some things here, a little bit of practical help, and maybe a little bit of instruction, maybe a little bit of challenge as well as we think about this topic of prayer. The first thing I want to talk about is this, the purpose. The purpose. Or we could say what the purpose of prayer. What is the purpose? Well, I guess the first thing that comes into our mind when we think about the purpose of prayer is that we can get what we need. So I can get what I want, so we can go to God, the great genie in a bottle, and rub it and get what we want. Well, that's not really the purpose of prayer. Although we do ask for our needs, although we do take our requests to God, in fact, here in this chapter, if you'll look down at verse 9, Jesus said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. And so, yes, God does invite us to come with our petitions, to come and ask, and to come to the throne of grace and ask Him for what we need. But I think there's greater purpose than simply getting what we need. I think the greater purpose is found in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, if you'll turn there with me, please. I won't have you turn to too many places, but I do want you to see this one. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, verse 11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now, get this last phrase. For Thou hast created all things, why? And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, God created me and He created you for His good pleasure. God created mankind because He desires fellowship with us. And so I think that the great purpose of prayer is, yes, we can get what we need. And I do mean need, not necessarily what we want, but to get our needs fulfilled, that we can bring our petitions to our Holy Father. But much more important than that is so that we can spend time with the One who saved us, spend time with the One who redeemed us, spend time with the One who loves us and died for us. Amen. It's not simply to get what I want, but to give Him my time, to give Him my fellowship, the purpose of prayer. Even in Genesis 3, we find God in the Garden of Eden, walking in the cool of the day, is the phrase that's used there with Adam and Eve. And I'm sure that He spent time with them and had fellowship. And so the great purpose, one of the great purposes of prayer, is for us to connect to fellowship with our Lord and Savior, with our Heavenly Father, to have that connection, that fellowship. So that's the purpose. The second thing that I would mention to you this morning is to have a plan. So purpose, then plan. plan for prayer. If you turn, we're here in Luke 11, just look at Luke 14. This verse kind of alludes to the idea of planning. 14:28, Luke 14:28 says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" And the idea there is the idea of planning. If that person who wants to build that tower doesn't have a plan and how he's going to get it done and what the cost is and what the materials are going to need to be, it simply will never get done. It's often been said that people usually do what they plan to do. If you have a plan to do it, you will do it. If it's just a thought and you don't put it on paper and have a plan for it, it most likely won't get accomplished. You have to have a plan. As we look into 2019, and as if you have a desire to be a greater prayer warrior, then I would admonish you this morning to think about a plan. Don't just say at the end of the service today, "Yeah, I want to pray more. I want to be a better prayer," and walk out. You better walk out and sit down and have some time where you say, "Okay, at church, after Brother Choma preached, I decided I want to be a better prayer. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to take my prayer up a notch. Now I must sit down and determine how I am going to do that." Now, friend, if you do not do that, it's not going to happen. Okay, just mark it down. It's not going to happen unless you sit down and plan. How am I going to do it? Do I have to wake up 15 minutes early? Earlier? Do I have to do it in the evening? Do I have to? When am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? And you need to make a plan and put it into your calendar. And I like to do it this way. Decide when you're going to pray and make an appointment with the Lord Jesus. Make an appointment, just like you call your doctor's office. "Yes, I need to make an appointment. My big toe's hurting. I need to see the doctor." And you make an appointment, they tell you what it is. Or if you're in the office, they'll say, "You want to schedule your next appointment?" "Yes." And they give you a little business card on the back. It's got your next appointment date and time. When that date and time comes, guess what? You show up because you've got it planned. Listen, if you're going to pray like you ought to pray, you need to plan. You need to plan for it and to figure out when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it, where you're going to do it. Make an appointment with the Lord and plan to get it done. Not only do we have to think about the purpose and think about the plan, we have to think about a place. Think about the place to pray. In our verses here, in our passage, it says, "It came to pass," in verse 1, "as he was praying in a certain place." The certain place wasn't just any place. When the Bible says a certain place, it alludes to the fact that the Lord Jesus had a place that he frequented. He went there often to pray. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically where this was. A lot of Bible scholars assume it was the Mount of Olives. Whatever the case may be, it doesn't really matter where it was, but it's a certain place that Jesus resorted to pray to the Heavenly Father on a frequent basis. I would challenge you to have a place. Hold your spot there. Look at Luke 6. We're going to stay in Luke here for a little bit. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Often Jesus, his prayer time was in the mountain. Maybe it was the Mount of Olives, who knows, but verse 12 says, "It came to pass in those days when he went out into a mountain to pray," and get this, "continued all night in prayer to God." Wow. And then look at chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 28. 9:28 says, "And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up," where? "To a mountain to pray." So Jesus had a place. He had a certain place he liked to pray. And I would challenge you to have a certain place. It might be in your home. It might be at a certain chair that you kneel down to. Maybe a rocking chair or a recliner chair or some sort. Or maybe it's the couch, or maybe it's beside your bed. Or maybe as Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, he said, when thou enter into thy closet and shut the door, he talked about a closet. Could be a literal closet that you go into, and it's dark in there, and you can close the door, and you're quiet and secluded, and there's no distractions. Don't take your cell phone in there. Don't take anything in there but your Bible and your prayer list, and go in there and shut the door, and in secret, pray to the Heavenly Father. It's a place. I think these places become sacred, in a sense. Not literally, perhaps, but in a sense, you can say, look, you know, when you walk through your home, you look at a certain chair or a certain sofa or a certain spot in the house, and you, in your mind, you think, that's my prayer place. That's my place. That's my certain place. This is the place, listen, where I meet God Almighty. Does that do anything for you? The creator of the universe, the creator of all that is, and you get to enter his presence. What a privilege. What an honor. You know, if you received a phone call and you picked up the answer, or you picked up your phone and it said, hello, this is, let's see, my mind just went blank. Preacher, what's the press secretary's name? Yeah. Well, hello, this is Sarah Sanders from the White House, and President Trump would like to have you come in and have a meeting with him. You'd be like, whoa. You're telling on your friends, you can't believe it. Or, yeah, this is a certain football star or a certain basketball star, someone you admire. I'd like to take you out to lunch today, and you'd be like, whoa, I can't believe it. But that's nothing. Nothing, nothing compared to the fact that we get to spend time with our Heavenly Father, the one who created us, the one who died for us, the one who saved us, the one who gives us His grace and His mercy on a daily basis. Wow, what a privilege to be with Him. Amen. And so that place, that certain place that you have, that's your prayer place, go home and figure out where that spot's going to be. Understand your purpose. Look, I'm not just going to get all my list. God, here's what I want. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, give me this, and give me that. You know, sometimes I go to prayer and I can't even speak. I can't even say anything. I can't believe you would allow dirty flesh like me to come to your presence, God. Although on his side of the fence, he sees me as completely righteous, which is amazing. My standing before God is perfect, righteous. Not my self-righteousness, that chases God away. But the righteousness of Christ, he loves it. And because of his righteousness, I can stand before Almighty God. And sometimes I'm just so overwhelmed and so dumbfounded about where I am that I can't even say anything. You been there, Brother Joe? I can't even speak. I can't even say anything. Well, thank God for the Holy Ghost, because he makes intercession for me. He tells God, Lord, he can't even say anything, but here's what's on his heart. Wow. Pray to God. You know, I acknowledge that the Muslim faith is fully false. It's a false religion. They pray to Allah, who's not a real God. I'm going to tell you something. I admire their dedication to pray, you know, several times a day, whatever, facing the east and all that, get their prayer rug out. And I remember when I lived in Indiana, there was a little gas station down on the corner from our house, and it was owned or ran by some Muslim folk. And if I'd go there to get gas at certain times of the day, there'd be a sign on the door, "Be right back in 10 minutes. And I knew what that meant. He was in the back of the shop praying. And sure enough, in 10 minutes, he'd come out and unlock the door. And, "Oh, hi." You know, he's very friendly, very, very cordial, very, good to work with. But he was faithful to pray to his false god. And yet you and I know the one and only true God, but we neglect spending time with him as we ought. And it's quiet in here right now because God's ringing our bell. It's a privilege and an honor. We get to do something that the Old Testament priest, only the priest got to do. Go into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God. One man could go in there. And the rest of the nation had to stay outside and listen for the tinkling of the bells on the hem of his garment. I wonder how many of those Israelites wondered, "Wow, what's it like in there? What's it like inside the Holy of Holies?" Maybe they questioned the high priest, "Hey, what's it like in there?" They could not go in there, only the high priest, and yet you and I get to go into God's presence. Are you getting my point this morning? We need to spend time with our God. He saved us. He's our Savior. He's done so much for us. We need to spend time with. We need to understand the purpose and have a plan to do it. We need to find a place to make it happen. Fourthly, we have to have a pattern. A pattern. Luke chapter 11 again, please. Back to our text. Here's the pattern that the Lord gave. I would not say that this is the only pattern. There might be other patterns you could use. I have over the years. But this certainly is a pattern that the Lord gave, and many use it. It's what we call the Lord's Prayer. I like to call it the model prayer. I don't think that the Lord intended for us to recite these words, word for word, some kind of a ritual, or make it, just a out of from rote memory, just to say it over and over again. I don't think that was his intention, but I think that through this prayer, and this is a whole other lesson on its own, just this model prayer, we could spend a whole hour just teaching on that or more. So I'll just run through it briefly because this isn't really the message here, but I do want to just touch on it briefly. When he says, "Our Father, which art in heaven," we must understand who it is we're praying to. We must understand that we're bowing to the one and only true God of heaven, God the Father. It says, "Hallowed be thy name." I think we need to have some time where we, hallowed means to be made holy. You know, the name of God is a holy name. It's hallowed. That's why we don't curse saying, Jesus Christ or God, D-A-M-N. No, God's name is holy. Tradition says that when the scribes even were copying Scripture, when they came to the name of God in Scripture, they would take their quill and snap it in half and throw it down and get a brand new quill and wrote the name of God with a nice, fresh quill. And every time they came to God's name, they did that again, over and over again, because they reverenced God's name so much. His name is holy. And so we ought to spend time in prayer bragging and praising God for who He is. God, you are holy. God, you are righteous. God, you are perfect. You are a God full of mercy and full of grace. God, you are all powerful. You're all knowing. And just on and on the list could go with who God is and what He can do. That ought to be our time of prayer from that phrase, "Hallowed be thy name." Thy kingdom come. Well, Jesus Christ is our King, amen? And if He's a King, then He has a kingdom. And yes, we're looking, one day the kingdom will be set up on earth, but in the meantime, I'm just submitting to him as his loyal subject. Lord, thy kingdom come. I acknowledge that you are my king, and I subject myself to you. He goes on to say, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Pray for God's will to be done in my life, and in the life of my family, in the life of those for whom I pray. Have his will. Then, of course, give us day by day, or the other parallel passage says, give us this day our daily bread, to pray for today's needs. I've always found that interesting. Just like the Israelites when they were in the wilderness and God gave them manna for one day, right? They couldn't gather up ahead of time. That just today, gather today's manna, and tomorrow there'll be another load of manna for you. And so we ask the Lord to provide our needs for this day, not worrying about tomorrow. He tells us we forgive our sins. Lord, forgive us for whatever, have a time of confession. And also help us to forgive others, as Brother Cole taught us in Sunday school this morning, to be forgiving, to help us when we're tempted, and deliver us from evil. And so those using that pattern to give us an outline in prayer to then develop a list. If we start with a list about our Father's hallowed name, write down a list of all the things you want to praise Him for and brag on God about. And then go on into your list. Thy kingdom come. Lord, I submit myself to you. And maybe list some things about that. And Lord, thy will be done. Have your will in my life. Specifically, Lord, what is your will for me? I want to know your will. And make a prayer list about that. And on down through those points, and make a list that you can follow in your prayer time. It's a model to follow, an outline, if you please. There was a time in my Christian life I used the word acts, A-C-T-S, as my prayer outline. A was adoration. Again, that's the time I bragged on God and adored Him. C was a time of confession. T was thanksgiving time, to give thanks. And then S was supplication, to begin listing the requests that I had for myself and others. And so it doesn't matter what outline you use, or if you don't even have an outline, but you do have a list. I would recommend you have a list. Don't ramble in your prayer. Pray for, and just allow things to come in your mind. That won't work. Don't ramble, and don't be random. Go to your prayer closet. Go to that certain place, if it's a seat or a couch or in the closet or walking in the woods behind the house, wherever it is, that certain place, and have your list and begin to talk to the Lord, praying through your list. And stay focused and spend time with the God who redeemed you, the God who owns you, the God who bought you with a price. And all God's people said, amen. This is so important. This is what God's challenging me about for 2019. To take prayer, I need to ratchet it up another notch. And I hope that He would challenge you as well. There's some sitting here today, the only prayer you pray is before your meal. Or before your head hits the pillow, you might say a little prayer then. But you need to have some serious prayer time. I think about our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane when He prayed there. His prayer was so agonizing, the Bible says He sweat drops of blood. That's how intense His prayer was. Now, I don't suggest that we get that intense, or if we could. Medical doctors say that can really happen, that the anxiety, because He was facing the cross, it was just moments or hours from the cross. Medical doctors say and have documented that anxiety could be so great, and the grief and the stress so great, that your body can actually bleed through the pores. And that's what our Lord was doing. But I want us to pray. I want us to be a praying people. I want us to go into 2019 looking and asking God to help us. Lord, teach us to pray! Not so much how, but to pray. Teach us to pray. Please, we must pray. You know, there's some things that only God can do. We can wish and hope and fret, and wring our hands and pace and all those kind of things, but there are some things that only God Almighty can accomplish, and we must pray. And sometimes we have to fast and pray. Let me give you the fifth thing here. So we said, as we consider prayer, we want to consider how to pray. Yes, I remember when I got saved, many of you know my testimony, my dad led me to the Lord. Led me to the Lord Jesus Christ at his kitchen table in his mobile home I can't think of that little place out there. What's the name of that? Melody Grove. Does that sound right? Yeah, Melody Grove. And shortly after I was saved, of course, he bought me my first Bible and gave me that, which I still have. And just a few days after that, he gave me a little book from the legendary E.M. Bounds. Simply titled, How to Pray. And I began, that was my primer, on learning how to pray. I'll never forget my first answer to prayer. I remember to this day, because it was monumental for me as a new Christian. Well, shortly after I was saved in January, called to preach in March. So 3 months later, I'm only three months old in the Lord, and God calls me to preach. 5 months after that, I'm at Hiles Anderson College to go to Bible college. But I knew I needed money to get there. I needed money to get started. So I had this really nice motorcycle. It was a Kawasaki LTD 1000. Many of you may not know what that means or anything like that, but it was a nice motorcycle. And I only rode it in great weather. I kept it polished. I mean, I'm a perfectionist, so it was always pristine. But I realized, I came to grips, I'm going to Bible college, I'm going into the ministry, I'm not taking a motorcycle to Bible college with me, and furthermore, I don't need a motorcycle anymore, and beyond that, I wrecked one already, and so they're kind of dangerous, and so I began praying, Lord, help me to sell this motorcycle so I can get to college. And I began, it was in the summertime, I began praying all summer long. I had it parked out in front of my workplace with a sign for sale on it. And I was asking what I was asking was maybe even more, a little more than it was should have been valued at for the age of it, but I was sticking to my guns. I want this much money for it. And you know, it got down to 5 days before it was time for me to get in the car and drive to Hammond that the motorcycle sold. 5 days. I mean, it was down to the wire. I'm like, whew, Lord, I really want you to sell this motorcycle. And so it sold, and I had the money then to get to Bible college, my first answer to prayer. I forget now why I was telling you that story, but it's a good story. Amen. The Lord teaches us to pray, how to pray. Not only how, but to pray, to just do it. The purpose, the plan, have a plan, okay? When am I going to do this? And schedule a time on your planner, in your calendar, on your phone, wherever. Make an appointment with God every morning, such and such time. That's your plan. Have a place. Discover a place in your home that's your certain place. That's your prayer place. It could be a chair. I remember a man we went to college with, Kim Lawrence. He said he would get up in the morning, put his bathrobe on, and he would pretend that robe was his royal robe. And then he would go into the throne room. Guess where that was? The bathroom. And he said he would kneel down before the toilet, closed lid, of course. But that was his place. Now I wouldn't pick that place for myself, but he had a place. Amen. And it was his special place that he went. And so you need a special place. I need a special place that we meet God. Have a pattern. Whether it's this pattern I shared with you, our Lord's Prayer, use it as an outline of things to pray for, but whatever you do, make a list. Let me go on to say this. Pray out loud. You say, what? Yeah, pray out loud. There's something good about that. There's something that's awesome. Don't just pray in your mind, because you can begin to get sidetracked and get distracted. And don't just whisper. Pray out loud. Well, that's why it's good to have a secret place, a quiet place, a certain place, maybe even in the closet, where you can pray out loud and pray with a list, a pattern. And then number five and last, a posture. A posture for prayer. Well, I don't know that I could be dogmatic about you have to be in a certain position. The Bible actually tells us several things that we can find in Scripture. In Genesis, Abraham fell on his face before God. We would call that prostrate. That's about as low as you can get, right on the ground. The Bible tells us that Moses bowed before the Lord. The Bible says about the lepers that came to Jesus, they kneeled before Him. Other references in Scripture talks about standing before the Lord. Others even talk about sitting. So I don't know that I could dogmatically say, well, you must pray this certain way. It seems that kneeling has been the accepted posture over the years. When subjects would appear before a literal sovereign king, they always came in and knelt before the king. Some cannot kneel. Some could not be prostrate. You couldn't get yourself back up. Understandable. So I'm not going to prescribe a certain posture, but whatever your posture is, listen, it must be a posture of humility. When you come to God, you must be humble. No room for pride. You must be humble as you come before your Father. And I think rather than talk about a physical posture that we get into, I think it's more about the posture of the heart. What is your heart condition as you come before God Almighty? Come before Him. And you know, I like it, Christmas, in the Christmas play we sang Bow the Knee. Boy, that was good. Bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And come and tell Him, Lord, I come humbly. Don't come with any pride. You'll chase Him off. The Bible says God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the lowly, the humble. Come to that, have a time. Okay, it's time to go to prayer. Come to my certain place here. And I've got my list. And all the distractions are shut off, or turned off, or closed out. And I'm going to pray with my list. I'm going to pray out loud. And I'm going to pray to my Father in heaven. I'm going to spend some time there. You know, if you're a brand new Christian, you might do well to pray 5 or 10 minutes. But if you're a seasoned Christian, an hour should just fly by, and you say, oh, I'm not even through my list yet, or I got to go. It's already, how'd that happen? An hour went by already. Now, some of you can't fathom that, but listen. Take your prayer life. First of all, have one. Have a prayer life. This is so basic for Christians. When a new Christian is saved, we begin to disciple them and say, look, there's a few things you need to do now as a believer, as a new believer. One is what? What? Read the Bible. The second thing you might do, or that you should do as a new believer now that you have faith in Jesus Christ and He's saved you and He's redeemed you and you belong to Him now, the second thing you need to do is to pray to Him. Pray to God. The other thing you're going to do is you're going to begin coming to church, something that's brand new for you. You've never gone to church before. Now you're a Christian. You need to come to church. So you're going to read your Bible, you're going to start praying, you're going to come to church. And there's other things we add to that list, but those are some of the biggie basics, right? And no doubt everyone sitting here, when you got saved, someone taught you that. And my question to you this morning is, what happened? Why have you left your prayer closet? Why is your prayer closet full of cobwebs? Because you've not been there for some time. I'm finished, but I really want to challenge you. 2019. Listen, don't be set. Hold still. Oh, don't move. I know when preachers say it's we're done, that he shuffles and does all this, puts things away. Don't do that. Sit still. Listen. Let 2019 be a new beginning for you. Wherever your prayer life is, either it's non-existent or it's somewhere, but you want to take it up a little bit. Could you make that decision today? We're all on different levels in here. Some saved a year. Some saved, I'm guessing, I don't know, Brother Daniel over there, he's probably got the record in here. I don't know. How long have you been saved, Brother Daniel? 70 years. Wow. Praise God. Amen. Brother Daniel knows how to pray. Friends, are you praying? You know, we tell people, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'll pray for you. And that's just a cliche. We just spout that off, but we don't mean it. We don't do it. Or we forget. Listen, friends, pray. Pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. If you don't know how to pray, hopefully you got a few good practical pointers from the message today. But if you really don't know how to pray, see one of us, preacher, myself, or one of the seasoned Christians in here, we'll teach you how to pray. But it's nothing hard about it. Just talk to the Lord. Tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him what's hurting you. Tell Him what's bothering you. Thank Him for all He's done for you. There's so much we can pray about. But I want us to pray. Regardless of where you are, like I said, if your prayer life is non-existent, or if you got a little, you do a little bit of prayer, but really, we all need to take it to the next level. Amen? It's the greatest privilege we could ever know, being in the presence of God Almighty. Why wouldn't we want to do that? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for